Welcome to Wild Utah, the podcast of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. I'm Olivia Juarez. Let's talk about pride. I don't mean rainbow flags, celebratory street parties, or a mass month of allyship for LGBTQ plus folk. I mean pride like confidence. To be able to walk down the street or to your campsite, particularly as a person from a minoritized community, with a feeling that tells you, I am safe, I can be here as I am, and my existence here is a gift. This Pride Month is unlike any for so many reasons, and not just because we can't quite gather and celebrate LGBTQ rights in America as would normally have happened in a mass parade fashion. This Pride Month, our communities throughout the United States have shown up in support of the movement for Black Lives. People are challenging police brutality through mass demonstrations, just as Marsha P. Johnson and others resisted police brutality that summer night at the Stonewall Inn in 1969. It is Pride 2020, and we are finding ourselves in a cycle of liberation for Black folk, Indigenous folk, and people of color led by Black, Indigenous, and people of color, just as happened at Stonewall more than 50 years ago. Creating this just world for all of us is joyful work, it is beautiful, it is hard, and it can be exhausting. Naturally, wilderness, or really any place where the natural world's autonomy is valued and respected, is a place to let all of that work go. It is a place to heal, and we are in need of healing. Individually, to be healthy people, and collectively, to foster a healthy community and healthy families. Nature can give us that space and that time to mend. So today, I've invited two Utah-based guests to talk about Pride outside with me. Ava Lopez was born in Salt Lake City, Utah, and raised in Southern Idaho. She moved back to Utah in 2014 and is currently studying political science and economics at the University of Utah. Ava has a deep commitment to community engagement, transparent government, and believes that everyone deserves a seat at the table of democracy. Motivated to create institutional equity, she is passionate about serving the city she loves. Salvador Oregon Torres is majoring in political science with a minor in deaf studies at Utah Valley University. He identifies as an undocumented queer person of color. Salvador was born in Mexico and immigrated to the U.S. when he was 11 months old. He's worked for nonprofits for 5 years, mainly focusing on the undocumented and LGBTQ plus communities. Welcome to Wild Utah.
Thank you, Olivia, for the introduction, and thank you for hosting.
Yes, Olivia, thank you for the introduction.
Thank you both. Well, I would love to get our conversation started with some storytelling. First, I would love to talk about the mentors and supporters in our lives. I myself identify as a queer person and a person who has fostered a love for me, my own ability to be confident, and my love for the outdoors is my Nino, my godfather, whose name was Marvin Padilla. He was a gay man who survived the AIDS epidemic, who was loving and caring as a grandfather, a father, and an uncle, and went camping with us all of the time. I remember sitting around the campfire with him, going out to get Kentucky Fried Chicken when, you know, that's just what sounded good when we were camping up Settlement Canyon, not too far from where I lived in Tooele, Utah. Some of my most precious memories outdoors and my favorite family photos from when I was a little girl are photos that I had with my Nino, who grew up before the pride that we see today was ever really a thing. So I'd like to ask you both, are there other LGBTQ folk in your life that you have precious memories being outdoors with? And what did you learn from these experiences?
You know, growing up, being in the outdoors, it was introduced in a way where my family and I, we couldn't travel much, and it was really interesting that we would go out and like, okay, vamos a pescar, we're going to go fishing. And the person that I have the most memories with, they weren't queer individuals, but I think queer in the sense that they were othered, they were undocumented, and they were my uncles, mi tío Marcelo and mi tío Benjamin. And for me, my earliest experiences with queerness have always been that my family was mixed in the sense of most of them were undocumented farm workers. But throughout my time in Idaho, and then later moving into Utah, the people that have opened up the doors into the wilderness, into me feeling comfortable in the outdoors, have been queer individuals. Specifically, I'd like to mention Moody Spady, who's the owner of Lizzie's Kitchen. And Moody is a Lebanese gay man who identifies as queer also and has completely opened his heart and been patient in teaching me different skill sets like rock climbing or adventuring and camping, biking, you name it, anything that we could get away and feel like we had our own place in this world. It is just so beautiful to find people like that in my life.
For me, the person that comes to mind is one of my good friends. The name is Gideon Hill. I actually met them when I started working at the Pride Center. At the time, they were just an intern, and then they eventually became a therapist at the Youth Pride Center. And with them, they always tried to encourage me to go to the outdoors. For a while, I always didn't like to go outdoors just because I thought that wasn't my thing. But last year, 2019, she invited me to go on this backpacking trip with her and other queer trans and bi people of color. And it was very interesting to go because everyone who went to the trip, it was in Oregon. And this is like a national thing that happens where different folks from all over the U.S. go to this backpacking trip and everyone else too. Well, Judy and I just drove from Utah and we made stops at different national parks so we can hike a bit. And that was very good for me to experience the outdoors more and then to love like the beauty that it was that is the outdoors and the fact that I could do it with someone who's like a great friend made it even better.
Thank you. Eva, something that you just said really stuck with me, which is how queerness can not only be seen in your sexual or gender orientation, but it's also seen as anybody who is othered. You used undocumented farm workers as the others and used a perspective of queerness to relate this to your family members. Can you talk more of what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it's something that is often left out in the conversation of queerness. Queerness in nature means othered, meaning doesn't fit into this mold, whether it be a mold of whiteness, whether it be a mold of even capitalism, it's a mold of existence. And for my family, our story starts back in Mexico. In my family, out of desire to survive, and for opportunity and creating a better life has migrated over the years. And this has been going on for over 100 years, actually, that my family's been migrating back and forth from the fields in Idaho and in California to pick fruit, to work on dairies, really to do a lot of hard labor. I come from that, and in that sense, I knew I was queer before I came out. And what I mean by that is, as a 6-7-year-old, I was having to translate legal documents for my family. You know, early on, I had early interactions with the police. I had early interactions where I felt at risk of one day being told that your mother and grandmother and family members have been deported. And now you're going to have to leave and be with another family, right? And so with queerness, it taught me how to survive. I mean, for me, I think what it comes down to is you're surviving in it and you can thrive in it too. But it's something that my family and I have embraced and we celebrate that these differences, this survival that has taken place is something unlike any other.
Queerness taught me how to survive. Wow. That's beautiful. That's so wild right there too, you know. I just think about you know, the radical, almost impossible seeming things that happen out in nature all of the time, like in Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. I was able to walk around the Escalante River on a retreat with SUA's grassroots leaders last year and noticed this big, beautiful cactus just coming out of the wall like a braided ponytail, straight up just coming out of this tall sandstone wall out of a crack. And to think, you know, such a big, massive, probably very heavy body of life can not only grow from a little bit of sand and crack and the water that would go through there every so often, but hold on for dear life and look pretty relatively healthy and happy there. I think of that, and I think of, you know, queer survival. Play things that, you know, don't look quite like they're fitting in the mold, but they're there and they're taking their space.
That's so beautiful, Olivia. If I may add, I think it brings to mind when they cropped over, I mentioned they're undocumented because my family, similar to that braid of cactus, they crossed over the Sonora Desert, and a few of them made it through the Rio Grande. And to think of how that reflects in nature, it's so queer.
Mm-hmm. A beautiful quote that I love from Rue Mapp, the founder of Outdoor Afro, in an interview with For the Wild podcast. This is what Rue has to say about nature's power to fully let you be yourself. And this is what I think of when I think about pride. Rue says, "When I am in nature, trees don't know what color I am. The birds don't know what my gender is. The flowers don't know how much money I have in my bank account. So I think we can rely also on nature to be an equalizer for us, to shed that weight, even if it's just for an afternoon or 1 hour stroll on a trail." That quote means so much to me because it resonates with a lot of what my experience is as a queer person of color who absolutely loves the wildness of Utah's deserts and mountains. I find that on the same time where maybe I'm backpacking in a canyon with my friend and for a few days we see people and we think, holy moly, we are the only people of color here, I also have some really deep and profound experiences where I just see myself living in relation to everything else in that wild space. And I think it's a place that I can be in to leave the male gaze, a sexualized gaze, to not be seen as a femme, to not be seen as a person of a specific sexual identity or of a specific race or ethnicity or class. And that's, to me, like why nature is so worth fighting for, because I feel like the space to fully be yourself, to fully be held by the earth and not be judged, is what wilderness can give to people who experience stress from racism and transphobia and sexism and other forms of oppression that are put on people, especially LGBTQ people. So I'd love to ask you all, what role do you think wild places play to help you embrace and celebrate being yourself, including fully embodying your gender and sexual identities?
So I think for me, it's just providing that space where I feel like I can't be judged. Like whenever I'm if I ever go to the community space or I'm at school, typically anywhere that isn't outside my house, I don't always feel the most comfortable because I feel like I always have to present a certain way, whether it involves my queerness or it involves my documentation status or just my ethnicity. I always have to present a certain way, but when I'm outside, I don't have to present any kind of way to be myself.
I think that's so beautiful, Salvador. I resonate with that. I think for me, you know, wild places, I resonate so much with the freedom and liberty to not just be expressive, but to transform myself. It feels so great to separate myself from the urban world because I don't have to be good at anything in nature. I just have to accept nature, and nature accepts me back. It's an open invitation to me to run wild, to be free, whether that's through fishing. Something I picked up recently was mountain biking, for instance, and it relieved me so much of the day-to-day role that I have to play in society, specifically with the embodiment of what's happening culturally in the U.S., here in Utah. I look for relief, and the word I want to use is sanctuary. And I say sanctuary because nature has healed my heart when it was broken and continues to heal me when I feel defeated and beaten. I feel the most present and the most fulfilled in my own body, in my own physical form, and in the way I choose to love when I'm outside, because I don't feel that judgment. I don't feel that, to take the words of Rue, I don't feel that the birds and flowers judge me or look at me anything other than Eva López, right? It is me and nature, and that's it.
I don't know about y'all, but I shed gender expectations when I'm in nature. Something about, especially going south to southern Utah, where the sand and the rock and everything around me is kind of the same color of me, I start to forget about, you know, whether my curves look good, the sexualized parts of my body, like my chest, for example, don't seem to matter as much for LGBTQ people to, you know, be in a space that is so free of human judgment that, you know, you can even also allow yourself to drop any judgment that you have or expectations that, for me, that I normally reinforce upon myself when performing the kind of gender that I want people to see me and accept me as. Something about going to southern Utah really just, you know, helps me let go of all of that.
I completely resonate.
Have y'all ever experienced that? Maybe in nature or maybe like in other spaces? What things support you to embody a gender identity or sexual identity that you feel completely safe and supported to be who you are in that moment?
I think, Olivia, for me, it comes down to the community that's invited me into the outdoors. Not just the wilderness itself, although that definitely plays its role. I think of a journey I took with a few friends down to Escalante, and my gosh, just beautiful slot canyons, desert flowers, sage, cactus, you name it. And this was a group of people that I felt so safe and comfortable with, to feel like I could be, if I wanted to be competitive, I could be without question. If I wanted to climb something, there was no question about it. If I wanted to wear something, right, no question about it. And it's such a freeing space, but free in the sense of free of this mold, and that I can take on whatever role I want. We're all working as a community. It feels like there's no genders. We're acting in a way where we're respectfully exploring nature. And I think that's beautiful that you can explore yourself in that way. And I haven't found that space anywhere in the urban world.
And well, I do agree with what Eva was saying about the community there, like you, because that's why I felt like with the folks that I went on the backpacking trip last year, it was similar to what I was just doing with their experience. I don't think it was it for them. I wasn't able to be comfortable with myself. Typically when I'm in a huge crowd, I'm not comfortable to talk about my gender, my sexuality, or whatever I feel makes me me, and just being around other folks who don't care and just want the most authentic you to just present itself.
I imagine that that trip for you was a total whirlwind. Like, my first time going to Southern Utah, I was 20 years old on a group service trip with the University of Utah alongside other first-generation college students. And that week out there in the San Rafael Swell changed my life on so many levels. And among the many wonderful improvements that came to my life after and as a result of that trip, one of them was just having a sense of community with other people that I didn't necessarily have before. In this case, it was having community with other first-generation students. Can you talk about what community or support resulted in your life as a result of this backpacking trip?
Because of the backpacking trip, I was able to meet like a whole bunch of folks that were all people of color. The majority of the folks in the group were somewhere along the gender expression line, so we, no one, the majority of us were not cis, and it was great just to like talk about like the ways that we saw oppression when we come from, because I came from Salt Lake City, someone came from Philadelphia, other folks came from New Orleans, someone drove from Arizona, so like having all these people coming in talking about their spaces and how they can really be themselves in their areas, it was like good to know, like, oh, it isn't just like a youth hall thing, like other folks feel that way, but we can just sit down and just talk about what we felt and validate each other's experiences and feelings. And then from that, like, I was able to make connection with these folks who live in other places. Like, one of my friend that I went on this backpacking trip with, she went to Arizona earlier in the year, and she was able to meet up with some of the folks that were on the backpacking trip, and they were able to go on hikes and things like that and in that area, because we knew, we asked them what the best places to go, or at least she did. And I think this is opening up a great way for us to support each other in that way. A lot of the folks, we also have like small businesses, so supporting each other in their businesses and things like that has also been very good, especially during like the times we're living in right now. And honestly, this is like the best thing to get out of. And like everyone was always validating with whatever it is we were saying, which is always very nice. Just realizing that going out, like camping, hiking, and backpacking, it isn't just like a white person thing that anyone can do it. That we gotta just change that narrative and encourage more folks, more black and brown bodies to go out and do these things without being judged.
Oh, that is so precious, Salvador. It's one thing to be in a space as a person of color where you're surrounded by other people of color and surrounded by diversity. That can be very life-affirming in and of itself, especially if you live in a place like Utah where people of color are such a minority of the population. And then it can also be another thing when you're a queer person and you're also surrounded by fellow LGBTQ folk. But it is a completely another thing when you have all of that packaged in one space together. And you're also in nature. You're also in the backcountry, surrounded by so much natural beauty. What was that like for you, just to have such ecological diversity and social diversity? That was also very reaffirming to these parts of your identity as well on that trip.
So it was just, for me, it was just like, I was always amazed because I was, prior to that backpacking trip, I'd never really gone outside. My family never really did anything outdoors. So I was very hesitant. I was thinking that I was going to hate it the entire trip. But I actually didn't, just from like the moment that we got to the first, because we were there for 4 days. So the first night that I got there, it was completely different. Like every single night, a different location we were in. we were in Oregon, and we would be hiked Mount Hood, and just like the different areas, just seeing the different types of lives that are out there, just seeing like lots of land. It's, yeah, like the industries were trying to tear it down. It was just beautiful to see. And obviously, like I didn't realize how much beauty was out there. And that's my take back from this trip. It's just no matter where I went, no matter what we were doing, the scenery was always different. From what I was used to just being like in an office or just being at home watching TV, I found so many things to do outdoors that I didn't think I could do because I thought I was going to be bored the entire time. I wasn't, just telling stories of other folks, cooking outside, learning how to camp, learning how to survive in the wilderness, as someone who hasn't done that before. Oh,
I love it. Thank you. My last question is about fun in the sun. Not only is it Pride 2020, but it's the month of the solstice. So that means brighter sun and longer days so that we can enjoy our favorite outdoor activities. What are your favorite outdoor activities in the month of June? And where do you like to connect with nature during this time of the year?
Ooh, Olivia, but you missed the best part, is it's Gemini season and a hot queer summer. All right, for all of you listening, you can find me out in any lake, any river, pool, any body of water. Heck, a hot spring coming near to you is where I'll be. But I really love bodies of water, though. And if not that, I've enjoyed exploring my old home state, because Utah is my home state now. But I love exploring the wilderness in northern Idaho, actually, is where I found myself. That or southern Utah is where you'll find me.
Yeah, and then that's for me. We're actually finding more doing like more national parks. My partner, right now, we have been looking at different national parks that we can go to, where we can safely social distance from other people, but also go and explore. Now that like my partner's working from home and I am currently also working from home, so that's gonna be good for us to just go out. So you'll be catching me out in the wilderness more in national parks, just because I enjoy like from my backpacking trip, I've enjoyed seeing more national monuments, national parks and things like that, and that's what I will be doing.
Oh, I love it. And as for me, you can find me hiking on a high alpine trail, still trying to chase the little bits of snow that remain up there, or on a river. Now I'd love to turn the time to you. Is there anything else that you wanted to say?
I want people that are experienced in the outdoors or are experienced in the wilderness to reach out an open hand to anyone that you might see struggling with their sexuality, struggling to feel accepted. And remember that queerness extends past just sexual or gender experiences, but also towards anything that wouldn't normally exist in circumstances in our country. There's so much freedom that's in the outdoors, and to connect someone to it and teach them is amazing. And I'll put it out there. I don't know how to ski. I've always wanted to learn. If somebody could teach me, that'd be amazing.
I'll teach you.
Oh, heck yeah, I'll take you up on that.
For me, what I would just like to say, that I guess just because, like, you know, the official Pride, like, it's canceled or whatever, like, you can still celebrate Pride in your own way, and, like, going outside is the way to do it, and do it, especially when, like, we're in Utah. You can usually drive, like, 2 hours any direction, and you'll find a nice place to go, whether it's the Great Salt Lake or Little Carnival Canyon, things like that. There's great places to go, whether it's going by yourself and just being out there and just thinking about things and relaxing and just, like, to take a breather or just going with friends. So I think that's just a good thing to do. I think now with everything that's been going on, I feel like kind of things get lonely, but if you can find folks to join you with in these little adventures, even if it's just like you're separating each other from 6 feet, I think it can help out a lot with your mental health and just enjoying, just be happy. And I guess also trying to learning how to get into it, like baby steps. That's what I had to do. Don't just jump into like a 4-day backpacking trip, because I mean, I work for everyone. But if you just want to start athletic or doing a small hike, walking around a park, and then working your way up to bigger hikes, that's especially now is a good time to do it. Most of the people are closed. What else are you going to do besides enjoy nature?
Thank you all so much. All right, dear listeners, you heard it here. Get outside and connect with la naturaleza, especially if you can do it with some pals or with somebody who you think can use a friendly hand and heart like yours. Wild Utah is recorded at SUWA's main office in Salt Lake City, ancestral Goshute, Eastern Shoshone, and Ute territory. We record on equipment purchased through the generosity of our members. Our theme music is written and performed in Moab by Haley Noel Austin. To stay informed about current events at SUWA, visit us at suwa.org and click on Get Involved to discover how you can join the movement to protect Wild Utah. To receive information and alerts via text message, text the word Utah to 52886. That's the word Utah to the number 52886. Follow the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance on Facebook, on Instagram at Protect Wild Utah, and on Twitter at Southern UT Wild. And be sure to subscribe to the Wild Utah podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. Visit suwa.org/podcast for additional ways to subscribe and to access our archive of previous episodes. On behalf of SUWA, I'm Olivia Juarez. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We hope you can join us for the next episode of Wild Utah.